Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is truly a day that the Lord has made, and we all should just rejoice and be glad in it. Well, I just want to say welcome to you on tonight. This is Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams, and I'm glad that you tuned in, and we will explore the Word of God together and have fellowship here on Wednesday night. It is always a pleasure and an honor to be able to have this forum where we could come together and explore the Word of God. As always, I have to first give all obedience, honor, and glory to God for even allowing this to take place, to His Son and to the Spirit. Honor and glory. I want to thank each and every one of you that have called in on the phone, as well as those who are listening on the internet with your computers. I just want to say thank you for calling back time and time after again. I also pray that the words that go forth tonight could be something that you could use, that you could place it in your memory, and that you can meditate on it so that the word won't return void. I thank each and every one of you. And as always, when the show is ended, if anyone would like to make a comment, if they have a concern, if they would like to pray or give words of encouragement, you have to press the one button on your phone. And for the people that's listening on the internet, you would have to call then the call, you would have to call the call in number, and you would come into the studio, then press the one button, and I could open the mic, and you could talk on the phone from wherever you are, and it could come into the program. As always, I would like to start off with a song. And really right now, we just need to pray. So dear Heavenly Father, precious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we have so much to thank you for. You've given us our health and our strength, our mind. Lord, you have given us your Son and you gave us your Spirit. And dear Lord God, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and to your gates with praise. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to go before your people tonight. Holy Ghost, I just want to let you know that you are in control. I decrease as you increase. I don't know the people that's going to call in, and I don't know the ones that will be listening. But whatever need that is out there, God, I pray that you fulfill it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the callers, and I thank you for the people looking at the internet, and I thank you for the program that allowed this forum to take place. Lord, we're living in perilous times, and you gave us a commission to go out and spread the word of God, and you told us to do what we can do so that Jesus could come back. Lord, I thank you for this right now, and I give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, as always, I would like to play a record so that we could usher in the Spirit, that we could have a song with a message to get us in the place where we need to be to receive the lesson. So at this time, I thought this record by Miss Mann was appropriate. Because, you know, we're talking about the King, our Lord, Savior, Master, our King. And this record is Take Me to the King. And I think it's appropriate for the lesson tonight. And I pray that you enjoy it. Once the record is finished, I'll come back to you and we'll go into the lesson. The title of the lesson tonight is Jesus Had to Die So That We May Live. Again, Jesus had to die so that we may live. And they have an Old Testament scripture we're going to look at, which is Isaiah 53, verse number 5. We're going to look at that verse, which is the prophecy. And then we're going to go into the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to start at the 26th verse. I'm sorry, the 26th chapter. And we're going to look at verses 36 through 46. So once the record go off, we'll go into the scripture and the lesson. And those who have their Bibles, glory be to God. And those who need to get their Bibles, you have time while the record is playing. And if you want to get something to write something down, you have time. So now we're going to listen to the song. Thank you. Yes, and that was Tamara Mann with Take Me to the King. I love that record. And here we go with the lesson. I see that so many new callers has called in. And I want you guys to know that scripture, one of them is going to come from the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, verse 5. And then we're going to go into Matthew's, the Gospel of Matthew's, in the 26th chapter, verses 36 through 46. And the lesson for the night topic is, Jesus had to die so that we may live. That's amazing. But we did the lesson last week, and for those who were tuned in, we saw that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And some of the notes that we put with that lesson was saying that was the begin of the saga that was going to, excuse me. I'm sorry. That was the beginning of the saga that was going to unfold. I don't know where that's coming from. Excuse. Yeah, that was the saga that was going to unfold. I'm sorry. And we looked at that lesson, and it was the beginning of the prophecy that God was going to send his son. And we saw last week that the prophecy said how you were coming to Jerusalem, that he would ride in on a donkey, and then they would lay the palms down. And for us as Christians, that's how Palm Sunday began. And he rode in to Jerusalem, and the people gave him praise, and they gave him honor, and they gave him glory. They took their clothes off. They lined the street for him. So tonight's lesson, which that lesson was in Matthew's, the 21st chapter, I said that this week I will talk about the last week in Jesus Christ's life. So I'm going to use that for the background that I always give you guys about the book or the chapter, but I think this is fitting for tonight. So by having only 45 minutes, we're going to go through it, but I'm going to give you the scriptures that you can read on your own. Tonight we're in the 26th chapter of Matthew's. Last week we was in the 21st chapter of Matthew's. Everything I'm fixing to give you now is between the 21st and the 26th chapter. So as I read this and touch on it, if it's something you remember, it's something you want to know more about, you could go in them chapters. All right. That was the beginning of the prophecy last week concerning God's master plan for salvation. We saw that it was prophesied by Zechariah in the Old Testament. Before we go into the scriptures for the lesson tonight, we're going to visit the last days of Christ's earthly life before he was betrayed and they set him up for crucifixion and then the resurrection. But after he entered into Jerusalem, the things that Jesus did, he began to teach. One of the first things he did, he went and cleaned the temple. He cast out all that was sold and bought in the temple. Here, he is teaching us, as well as he taught them, but it's for us. He didn't like what was going on in the temple, and today we have churches. But he went in there and he cleaned everything out because they was doing all kind of things in the church. But here he is teaching us how we should treat the house of God. It should be a house of prayer and a house of worship. The temple was where all the people from any nations and the Jews and the Gentiles should have had the opportunity to pray and worship in an atmosphere that was welcoming. He then cursed a fig tree. He was hungry, and when he saw that the tree was barren, he cursed it because it bear no fruit. This lets us know that we should be the bearer of the fruit of the Spirit that lives within us. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, the Holy Ghost came to live with us. And when the Holy Ghost came to live inside of us, he brought the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, faith, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. See, all of that is inside of us. It came inside of us with the Holy Ghost. But we have to learn to cooperate so that these fruits can flow in our lives. You know, the Bible teaches us, they say, show me, if I could see your fruit, I could know your faith. You know, you don't have to go around saying I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that. If you got the fruit in you and you cooperate and you work in the fruit in you and you're allowing the fruits to flow in you, people will know who you are. You see, so Jesus saw that bear, that fig tree, and he was hungry. But when he got on it, it had no fruit. And he cursed it. But we should not be living a barren life. Then he began to teach in parables. He did the parable of the two sons, the parable of the wicked husbandman, the parable of the marriage feast. You know, and I won't have time to go into all of these, but I really suggest that you read them. And some of them, I'm giving you a little bit about it. You know, the marriage feast was when a big-time king had a marriage, and he invited the people, and he only invited the elite. And, you know, they decided they wasn't going to show up. So the king told the people to go back and invite the common people and let them come. But it's the marriage of the feast. Then the Pharisees started questioning him, hoping to find a cause to crucify him. He was then asked if it was lawful to give tribute to Caesar. These are different days, y'all. I'm going down the days to tribute to Caesar. And he answered and told him, give unto Caesar which is due him, and unto God the things that are of God. What he's telling us here, even though we live in this world, we have traffic signs, we have internal revenue, we have the city, we have the state tax, we have all of these things. He said, even though you shouldn't be, we're not of this world, but we are in this world, and we should obey the law of the land. We should obey the things that's in place. Even when Jesus went into a town and you had to pay to get in and he didn't have no money, he sent the disciple to the water and told him, look at that fish, and when that fish opened his mouth, it's going to get a coin going to come out of it, and when the coin come, bring it back and pay for us to get in. Jesus did this. You see, and then on another time, in another occasion, the Sadducees questioned him about the resurrection, dealing with the law of Moses. See, they was always trying to get Jesus into something to listen to what he say so they could trip him up, and they was trying to find cause for what they wanted to do. And they asked him concerning the law of Moses concerning marriage. And the question that they asked him, when someone died and had more than one wife, which wife would be him with him in a resurrection? Because Moses had allowed them to divorce, and they had several wives, and they was under the assumption they're going to have that relationship in heaven, in the New Jerusalem, so they wanted to know which one would be the wife. Jesus stated to them, in a resurrection, neither will they be married, or anyone will be given to marriage, but are the angels of God in heaven. He said they ain't going to have all of that. You know, they're just going to be angels of God in heaven. There will be no need for marriage. You ever thought about why when you get married, the preacher says, until death do us part? Because marriage is one of the relationships that will not have a place in heaven, in a prepared place that Jesus went to prepare for us. You see, because there would be no need for marriage, because marriage was a way, you know, for us to reproduce and create families. But everything that's, there ain't going to be no need for that, because everything that's going to be going to already be. There won't be no need for reproduction, because it's going to be all in place. And that's why Jesus stated in the resurrection, there are neither marriage nor are given in marriage. There won't be no need for that. You see, if we look in the scriptures in Matthew 22:34, Matthew 22:34 says, then the Pharisee had heard about how he put the Sadducees to silence, and they gathered together. This is amazing. Sadducees did not like Pharisees. They didn't get along. It was like oil and water. But you see, they came together for a common cause, even though it wasn't right. They came together to put their heads together to try to see how they could get Jesus to trip himself up. And then verse 35 said, then one of them, which was a lawyer, so they got the best of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They picked one, and he was a lawyer, and he asked the question, tempting him and saying, now I'm reading scripture now, y'all. In 36, they say, Master, what is the greatest commandment of the law? And they figured they had him there. Because whatever one he said, they would probably say it was one other. But listen to what Jesus said. I want you to know they was talking about the Ten Commandments. And Jesus summed the ten into two. Jesus said, if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind, that's what you should do. He said the second one is, to love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, on these two hang all the laws and the prophets. And when I say hung all the laws and the prophets, what do I mean? All of the laws. We know in the Old Testament they had 635 laws. And then the prophets prophesied about what was going to be. But if you take these two commandments and you really work them, there would be no need for the 10 o'clock news. Because if everybody learned to love God with their whole heart, God will begin to take and circumcise your heart, and you would be better because you would submit. You would give reverence, and you would want to obey the things of God. And the second one that Jesus said is the commandment. It's to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, you know, that's evidently one of the hardest things in the world for people to do. You know you love yourself. If you learn to love your neighbor like you love yourself, you wouldn't steal from your neighbor. You wouldn't kill your neighbor. You wouldn't talk about your neighbor. You would just be loving on your neighbor like you love yourself. Jesus took the Ten Commandments and the law and the prophets and summed them up into two. And y'all remember that the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments is towards God, and God allows six of the commandments to be for us what to do with one another. You see, if we just do these commandments, the world would be a better place to live. Jesus now takes time to denounce the scribes and the Pharisees and explain that they knew, you know, he took time to denounce them, the scribes and the Pharisees. And what he did, he explained that they knew the law, but they didn't know how to love. You see, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Republicans, all of those people were very versed in the word of God, and the law and the word of God. They was very well versed in it. But you see, they didn't know how to love. They'll tell you the law, and yet they'll walk over you. They'll tell you the law, and they could see somebody hungry and wouldn't feed them. So Jesus told them, y'all know the law, but y'all don't know how to love. And then Jesus turned and tell the parable of the 10 virgins. All this is in his week, y'all, waiting to go. And waiting to die. Then he tell the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them was wise and 5 was foolish. The 5 foolish virgins didn't prepare. And they were virgins waiting to meet their bride, their groom. And they were all to get ready, and the grooms was going to come. And they was going to all come together, and they had to keep some oil in their lamp so that they could see because they was coming when it was dark. So the 5 wise went and took care of what they needed to do. But the 5 foolish figured they had time, and they just kept waiting. You see, and then night fell, and the grooms came. And the 5 wise virgins was able to meet their groom. 5 foolish couldn't even see. They weren't prepared. So what Jesus is talking at this time, he's teaching us to always be prepared, because no one know the day or the hour the Son of Man is coming. Then he taught the parable of the talents. You remember we had the lesson about the parable of the talents. He gave 1 5 talents, gave 1 2, and 1 1. And you see, with that parable, he was letting us know that we will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And it won't be judging us to see if we're going to get salvation. And it's not necessarily going to judge our sins, because our sins, if we are saved, Jesus took away the sin. But it's going to judge what you have done with what God has given you until Jesus come back again. So they're going to judge your deeds, and they're going to judge your works. Then Jesus was anointed by a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment, and she poured it on his head. It's amazing that as she did it, no one, even the disciples, understood that it was for his burial. You see, Jesus, when you have a crucifixion burial, you know, usually it's not intended for you to have time to have a proper burial. Seeing God in his ultimate wisdom knew that. So this right before they're going to crucify him, he knew it wasn't going to be enough time. This lady happened to be at the house of Simon the leper. And this lady happened to have that very, very precious, expensive ointment. And she poured him on his head. And like I said, no one understood, even the disciples understood, that she was really preparing him. You see, God cover all his bases. He dots all the I's and cross all the T's. He used this opportunity to get his son properly ready for burial. The disciples fussed, saying, why would she take and use that expensive oil like that? And the main one that was fussing was Judas. But why was he fussing so much? You know, Judas was the treasurer for the 12 disciples. And if you didn't know, Judas was a thief. And Judas wanted to get that ointment so he could sell it to put the money in the treasury so he could have more money to trick off. So he was really upset because he knew the value of that oil. But Jesus told him, let the lady alone. They suggested that they could take the money from the oil and help the poor. He wasn't going to help the poor as much as he helped himself. But Jesus said, the poor going to be with you always. That's where that scripture comes from. He said, but I'm just going to be with you a little while longer. Let the lady alone. Jesus knew, they didn't. After that happened, Jesus conducted the Last Supper. He stated that one would betray him and another one denies him. And after the Last Supper and the next day is where the lesson we're going to have tonight begin. You see, this leads us to tonight's lesson. And even though it's we going to work with the gospel, I want to give you, I really want to give you the prophecy. In Isaiah 53:5, they say, "But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. And the chastisement of peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." You see, this prophecy was given to the prophet Isaiah long before Jesus' birth. This is the greatest part of God's plan for salvation. God loved us so much that he created a plan before the foundation of the world to save us. And he gave the prophecy to Isaiah because this was a prophecy of hope for all times. You see, way back there in the Old Testament, you see, we don't even realize how blessed we are. The Savior has already come. We have the written word to tell us about him. We have the written word to meditate. We have the church to go to be able to fellowship, pray, and worship. We have all of that. We have all of that. And yet, back then, the people didn't. The people didn't have it. And yet, we have it all, and we don't use it. But God gave the prophecy way back there to Isaiah so that there would be hope for all times. And you see, John 3:16 said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but look at this, have everlasting life." Remember, God gave this prophecy to Isaiah way back then in the Old Testament. And when he gave the prophecy to Isaiah and he was creating the greatest plan for salvation, he had each and every one of you in mind. He had you in mind by your name. He had you in mind by your city and your state. He even had you in mind by the numbers of hairs on your head. He knew you. He knew you was before you was in your mother's womb. And he cared for you. You see, what we have to do is just trust it. And we have to believe it. And tonight we have to understand that Jesus had to die so that we will live. And now we're going into the scripture, Matthew 26:36-46. And I'm going to read the scriptures. And this is where we at tonight. All of the script, all of the background that I gave here was between the 21st chapter of Matthew to the 26th. And now we're in the 26th, but we're in 36 and the 26th. They say, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowed and very heavy." This Jesus. He was sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, this Jesus, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." He said, "But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. That's deep. And he commented to his disciples again. And he find them asleep. You know, he asked them, come on, y'all pray with me. But he went on another side. And he came back and they was asleep. And he said to Peter, what could ye not watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. He said, because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them sleep again, but their eyes was very heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed for the third time. He left and went away and prayed for the third time. Isn't that amazing? And when he prayed the third time, he said the same words as he had said earlier, not my will, but thy will. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, y'all go ahead, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be gone. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. So the scripture we just read, that I just read, this was in the Garden of Gethsemane. This was right when they was fixing to come and arrest him, and they was going to betray him, and they was going to do all of that. That's right where we at tonight. But you see, when we look at these scriptures here, when Jesus asked the disciples to watch with me, he was asking them to pray. But look at this. Isn't it amazing that he was not asking them to pray so much for him? But he knew that temptation was going to fall upon them. He knew that Peter would deny him, and the other disciples would scatter as sheep from their shepherd. When the heat get going, you know how sometimes they say when the rubber meet the road, you know, people sometimes scatter. You know, they'll be with you until some heat comes. And he knew that. So he was telling them to pray so they could build themselves up and maybe not yield to temptation, because Jesus knew that. You know, even in Jesus' darkest hour, he was concerned about us, and not just us, but everyone. Jesus knew he had to die that we could live. You see, the intense agony and the anguish and the sorrow that Jesus felt was certainly understandable. Because this one thing you got to remember, even though Jesus is all God, was all God, but Jesus was all totally man. So Jesus had flesh, and he had the spirit of God, and he had the flesh of man. So just like man feel things and have emotions and feel sorrow, Jesus was going through all of that because that was the man in him. But he was also God. You see, being God, Jesus knew all that was going to happen to him. Now, you know, if you know something's going to happen to you, you would be very sorrowful if you couldn't stop it. Because you see, earlier Jesus had already said, not my will, but your will. But Jesus knew all what was going to happen to him, the whippings, the beatings, the everything. He knew, and that's why he was asking the Father, could he take the cup away from him? You see, John 18 and 4 says, then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, this is the scripture, y'all, in John, saying that Jesus knew all that was going to happen to him, came forward and said to them, whom do you seek? You see, he knew the painstaking details, the events that would follow soon after he was betrayed by one of his very own. You know, even in our life, it's hard when someone we love and has been with for some time, we walked with and talked with and ate with and, you know, did all these things with, and then sometime they betray us. It happened to Jesus. It sure can happen to you. But here we see that even after they had seen all that Jesus had done and the miracles and the healings and, come on, y'all, and the walking on water, you know, and making a blind see, you know, these things he was doing, he was still betrayed. So as we live in this world, we could be betrayed by someone we love. Although our Savior never lied, he knew he was about to go under several trials where all of the witness against him would do nothing but lie. They would do nothing but lie. It's hard when someone lie on us or speak evil of us. You know, but just as it happened to Jesus, it will and it could happen to you. And if it haven't happened to you already, just keep waking up. But just as Jesus did, we must forgive and keep on loving. Y'all have to remember one thing. Forgiveness is not just for the offender, but it's mostly for the one that was offended. When you don't forgive, and you expect to be forgiven, there's certain things that God say. He's saying, you know, when you want to come to pray with me and, you know, you need to make amends with somebody, go make the amends first. And when you holding and not forgiving somebody, half the time they done forgot all about it. You're the only one carrying around the burden. And not forgiving them, not going to change what happened. And you got to remember, to forgive somebody don't mean you got to be all in their face. But you've got to forgive to heal. You can handle them with a long-handled spoon, but you still have to forgive. You know, the Bible say we owe no man but to love him. You know, he knew that many. You know, he said, you got to love them. And Jesus knew that many who had hailed him as the Messiah only days early, you remember when he rode in on a donkey, would now be screaming for his death by crucifixion. He knew he would be flawed nearly to the point of death before they poured the metal spikes in his flesh. He knew the poetic word of Isaiah spoken 7 centuries earlier when Isaiah 52:14 said, but many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, no one could hardly know he was a man. Check it out. Isaiah 54:14. You see, certainly these things factor into the great anguish and sorrow causing him to make sweat drops like blood. And if that's not enough, there's even more. The night before Christ was crucified, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what we're talking about tonight. And it was Luke's Gospel, Luke 22:44 Luke 22:44 says, where we see that his sweat was like drops of blood, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling on the ground. You know, and there's plenty of doctors who can contest that it's something that don't really happen, but it could. When a person is so much pressure and in so much anger and sorrow and tension and all of that, you know, you could bust a vessel and it could cause, you know, blood to escape that way. Because some say, you know, it's not possible. But that's the scripture. I didn't make it up. And go to Luke 22:44 and you could read it for yourself. You see, even though God was man, I mean, even though Jesus was fully God, as I said earlier, he was fully man. Because Jesus and God is one and the same, he knew exactly what was about to happen to him. Now, can you imagine why he asked three times if God could let this cup pass him? And even then, he also stated three times, not my will, but your will. When the movie The Passion of Christ came out, many people could not look at the suffering Christ. You know, they had incidents in the movie that people just was too overwhelmed. And imagine just seeing that, and you know it already happened, and you know Jesus rose, and you know we got the victory. Just looking at it was too much for some to bear. You know, and at that time, and not that time, but always from the beginning of time, some people have asked the question if God could have done it another way. And they don't just ask could have done Jesus' death in another way. They ask all the time, you know, like, why you took my mother? Why you didn't let her live till her grandchild made 64? You know, they always wonder, ask the question, could it be another way? But this was the way it was meant to be. God orchestrated it and allowed it. And we must realize that the way he chose was the best course of action. And that some other method wouldn't be better. You see, usually what we perceive as better, a better method, is one that seemeth right to us. We have to stop judging and picking and choosing and deciding what part we want and what part we don't want to have to do with God or the Word of God, because we figure a better method. But you see, we're not afforded the privilege. We are not afforded the privilege to decide what we're going to do and not going to do. What part of the Word of God we're going to accept and what part we not. What part we're going to do and what rules we're going to follow and what we're going to obey and what we're not going to obey. Because you see, when we perceive a better method is one that seems right to us. Before we can come to grips with anything God does. See, when you get to know God, but when you come to grips with anything God, with everything that God does, we have to first acknowledge that his ways are not our ways, God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's God. They are higher than ours, much higher. And that's come from Isaiah 55. But in addition to that, if you check out Deuteronomy 32:4 reminds us that, this is so sweet, y'all. Go to Deuteronomy, if you go to Deuteronomy, the one I told you. It reminds us that he is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways is just. A faithful God who does no wrong, He's upright and he's just. Therefore, the plan of salvation that he had designed is perfect, just, and upright. And no one could have come up with anything better. What we should realize that in our lives we have to trust God. We have to trust the plan of God. You know, there's a scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts I have towards you." This is God giving a prophecy to Jeremiah for the people, for us. God say, "I know the thoughts I have towards you," said the Lord. "Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." And as I close tonight, I want you to know, Jesus totally trusted the plan of God for his life and even his death. And that's what we have to do. While we living on earth, we got to trust God's plan for our life and rely on what he's going to do for us in death. God has always worked all things out together for our good. And I want you to know that even when you can't hear his voice, just trust his plan. He is God. And yes, he do understand. And I want to remind you tonight that Jesus had to die in order that we may live. And Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection has guaranteed us salvation and a life eternally with the Father. Because you see, when sin into the world, it separated us from God, and Jesus is the one that's going to bridge the gap and made a way for us to come back. And that's why I thank Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the Holy Spirit that's living in me with the fruit and God and directing me. We have to be about our Father's business. Look at what God did. He loved us. You see, that thing said that Jesus was not even recognizable as a human. And Jesus knew what he was facing. But he said, "Not my will, but your will." Will we tell God not our will, but his will? I pray that we get to the point and we get into it day by day. We're not, you know, there. We're not perfect and we never will be, but we have to be consistently trying, maturing day by day. And God will make a way for us and work it out for us. And that's the lesson tonight, and we're going to pick up next week. From the next week, we're going to pick up the denial and the betrayal, which will bring us to the crucifixion and lead us to the resurrection. So that's what will happen on next week. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about prayer. And the week after that, and I'm going to get you the dates, and I'm going to text you, and I'm going to have it on the internet. But the week after, okay, this is Wednesday. Next Wednesday, dead, burial, or resurrection. And then the next week, I won't do the lesson on Wednesday, but I'm going to do it that Thursday at the same time. But I will text you guys and let you know. And that lesson, because of the call I asked on last week about prayer, we're going to have the lesson on prayer after next week, in the next week, but it's not going to be on Wednesday, it's going to be on Thursday. And at this time, I'm asking for callers, and I see that a caller has pressed his button way once I got started, and I'm going to go ahead now and let the caller come in. But if anybody want to say anything, you know, a leading prayer, someone, whatever you want to do. And I want everybody to be prayerful. You know, we have one of our listeners, one of our Wednesday night inspirational Bible study persons, went to the hospital on yesterday, and I got the call, and they started working on her today, and they, you know, I just want to tell you, God showed up and showed off. you know, and they figured out what it was quickly. That's God. And they decided to do it quickly. That's God. And she's all right, you know, but we have to keep her in prayer for, you know, her recovery. But, you know, if someone want to pray, you know, we got that, you know, one of us. We all are the body of Christ, and it's a call to be on the phone like you guys. You know, you might have never heard her talk, but she called in every Wednesday, and she's in recovery, and she's doing fine, so I'm asking you to lift her up. And, well, really, her name is Easter, and when you go to the throne of grace, call her name out. Call her name out so she could get her strength and be back like she was. Easter, and as we pray for leading out tonight, we're going to lift her up in prayer. But I'm asking each one of you, because that's our Bible study partner, and she'd be on the line just like you guys all the time. But lift her up in prayer. But right now, I'm going to open up the line for the caller who number is 504-251-81.
Not me.
Your mic is now open. Hello? Hello?
I didn't push anything. I didn't push anything. My thing been
you
like
wanna
this
say
the whole
anything?
Time.
You oh, wanna say no. anything? You don't have to.
See Diane?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't I'll say thank you. Thank you for the inspirational message for tonight, but I didn't push the button. I guess the baby might have pushed it, but I'm here and I'm listening. So
praise God.
Thank you for tonight.
And thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll cut your mic off, darling. Is
okay,
there anyone
thank
wanna thank you, baby. Is there anyone who would like to say anything about Jesus? About what he's done for us and what he's doing for us? Would anybody like to pray or anybody like to ask a question? Well, at this time, I'm going to go ahead and do the prayer because it's 7:28. I'm sorry, 9:28. And we could go ahead and do the prayer, the benediction prayer. And after that, I'll play music. And if God is leading or touching anyone that want to say anything while the music is playing, if you press your one when the song go off, I will definitely open the mic and you can make your comments. But let us go ahead and pray in case some people get off the line before, before the music. So, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your darling son, Jesus, that you allow to go to the cross for our sins. Thank you for giving us a way out, dear God. Thank you for making a way out of no way. Lord, we in and of ourselves could never save ourselves. And sin had separated us from you. We couldn't have a relationship, dear God. We couldn't come to the throne of grace, dear God. And you always had a desire, God, to be with your people, to have a one-on-one relationship with your people, dear God. And you came up with your master plan, and I say thank you. And it was before the foundation of the world, and I know you had me in mind. And I know you called me by name. And for that, I'm grateful. And I'll be forever thankful. Lord, we can't make it in this world without you. And because of you, all things are possible. Not with man, but with God. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for how you took care Easter today in the hospital. You know, she went to one hospital, dear God, and they transferred her to another one, dear God. The handy-handy work of God was all in the plan. Because you see, whatever God plans, he make provisions and he work it out for the good. Even though you don't understand it, you just trust him. Even though you can't hear him, you just trust him. Teach us, dear God, how to walk in the light. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway unless we slip and fall. I thank you for Monday Night Inspiration, dear God, and bless every caller that called. Bless every family that is represented here, dear God. Lord, I'm just grateful. I'm just elated. I can't even imagine why you allow me to do this. But all I can say is thank you. All these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen. And thank God. And if there's anyone who would like to speak, it's still time and the mic will be open. If no one would like to say anything, since the callers like the music, I'm going to play a song right now. And if anyone changed their mind, I will see the one button light up and I'll stop the music and we could take the comments or whatever. Or if you want to pray. You know, we really need prayer. Everybody, we need prayer from everybody. You know, the world we living in and the things that are going on and the sickness and the burdens that's on the people. We need prayer warriors. But I'm going to go ahead and play this song and I'll be back to you. I'm going to stop the music right now for a little while because I had another caller that had pressed the button, and now I don't see the caller on the line. Oh, the caller is not on the line. She must have hung up. So I'm going to go ahead and play the music. Put the music back on. Grace and mercy. Where will we be without grace and mercy? And this is another song. And remember, if you like to say anything, you still have time. One minute. Well, it's not want to work right now for us. And I see we still have listeners on the line. But it's another end of Wednesday night, Inspirational Wednesday. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. If anyone have a question or concern or would like to pray, or what that came on, hold on. Again, I would like to tell each and everyone, thank you for calling in. Remember that the lesson next week is going to be about the death, burial, and resurrection. And the week after that, the lesson is going to be on prayer. And instead of being that Wednesday, it would be that Thursday. But I will let you guys know about it. I thank each and every one of you. And I just want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And I'll see you back on next week. And I pray that God be with you until we meet again. Thank you. And glory be to God for all that he has done, all that he's doing, and all that he's going to do, not just for me, but each and every one of you. You have to trust him. He have your best interest at heart. And when you learn to trust God, what you're saying is that God knows best. Let him have his way. Just as Jesus said, not my will, God, but your will. And I guarantee you'll have success living on this side of heaven, because we have to live here. The Bible say we got to be in the world, but not we could be in the world, but not of the world. We have to learn how to separate ourselves, because we was designed to bring the world to Christ, but look like the world is bringing us to the world. So let us be strong in the power of the might, because it's not by our strength, it's not by our power, but it's by God's power and might that we do anything, that we achieve anything, that we become anything. So that let us look to the hills from which cometh our help, because our help comes from the Lord. In Jesus' name, it's what I use, because he said you can't get to the Father unless you go through the Son. So I'm just praying that everyone be blessed. I thank God for what he did with Easter today. That lets me know that God is still in the blessing business. And all I can say is hallelujah. Glory be to God. And this is our program for tonight. If God say the same, I'll see you back on next week. Be blessed. And good night.